The first scripture passage from the lectionary today comes from 2 Thessalonians, chapter 1, verses 1 through 4 and 11 through 12. Listen for the word of the Lord. The passage begins simply with the letters at the top of the page. This is a letter. It's from Paul and Silvanus and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We must always give thanks to God for you, brothers and sisters, as is right, because your faith is growing abundantly, and the love of every one of you for one another is increasing. Therefore, we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your steadfastness and faith during all of your persecutions and the afflictions that you are enduring. To this end, we pray for you always, asking that our God will make you worthy of the call and will fulfill by his power every good resolve and work of faith, so that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, beginning with verse 1. Again, listen for the word of the Lord. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, because he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. And all who saw it began to grumble and said, "He has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." Then Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house, because he too is a child of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. 499 years. That's how long there's been a Protestant Reformation. It was started by Martin Luther all those years ago. Luther was someone who had a great deal of courage. His dramatic moment came in a thunderstorm. The thunderstorm was so powerful that Luther proclaimed that if he survived, that he would dedicate his life to God. His father wanted him to be a lawyer, but he came back. He ended up being a monk, but he had this great sense of guilt that he couldn't get rid of. And so he kept praying and praying and looking and listening, and it came to him, "By grace alone we are saved. By faith alone we are saved. By Scripture alone we are saved." Those have been the watchwords of the Reformation ever since. The world changed when Martin Luther began that Reformation. But not only was he a good theologian, he was also a good marketer. He was paying attention to what was going on in the culture around him. He used the printing press, which had recently been invented. He didn't just use it a little bit to make sure the Bible was printed in the language of everyday ordinary people, but he also printed out little tracts like playbills that you'd get at the theater. He'd go to a town and there'd be 10,000 of these spread around. So he was spreading the word of this new way of thinking about faith, this new way of seeing life. Luther was a genius in so many ways. He wasn't perfect. He didn't think through quite as well as he should have what would happen when you took the church and the state that had been meshed together and tore them apart. So there was rioting in the streets. Many people lost their lives. Luther backed off and said that's the concern of the politicians. The church's job is to pray. So Luther held back from being involved in the world. John Calvin came along in Geneva, Switzerland, which is why we sing in French at the beginning of our returning of the offering today, because that's what they do in the mothership in Geneva, Switzerland. John Calvin came along, and he carefully thought through faith as an integrated part of life. So Calvin was involved in the world. His church was involved in the world. So much so that the city council and the church council, they consulted together. So Calvin was involved in leading a city, not just a church, making sure the city had schools and a hospital and streets and sewers and all of those practical sorts of things. John Knox came along and said that this city was more like the kingdom of God on earth than any place else that he ever had been or ever knew of. The Protestant Reformation, as it came to evolve, is something that we have been blessed with, still involved in the world, still involved in shaping people in faith. A key piece of our belief as Protestants is that there is a priesthood of believers, that everyone is called by God. Soren Kierkegaard, the great philosopher, was one who reflected on this, I think, deeply. And he said there's a difference between having a career and having a calling. He said a career, that can be spiritless, a quiet despair, a pursuit of trivia, things that just don't matter in your life. But a calling from God, a calling, Kierkegaard said, it uplifts the spirit, it enlivens the soul, it ennobles the person, it strengthens and animates, it connects each and every one of us with God's work in this good creation. It gives us a reason to live and the courage to live boldly in the ways that God calls us. A career and a calling are two different things. You can see in this passage today about Zacchaeus what a difference Christ made in his life. Zacchaeus, and a great number of us, as soon as you hear the word Korea, Zacchaeus start to hum, Zacchaeus was a wee little man was he. Well, Zacchaeus was somebody who did not have much character. He had a career that was very successful. He had become very rich and a leader in his area, but he was a horrible human being. And he encounters Jesus, and Jesus looks at him. Imagine what it is to be looked at by our Lord and to be seen for not what everybody else sees in you, but to see in you what God sees in you. Zacchaeus is seen by Jesus, and Jesus sees what he has to give, and he calls him. And that calling transforms his life. A simple calling of offering hospitality, it changes Zacchaeus. And all of a sudden, he goes from being this horrible human being to someone who is held up as an exemplar of generosity. He gives half of what he owns. He's rich, and he gives half of what he owns to the poor. And he doesn't stop there. There's people that he's defrauded, and he doesn't give them back what he'd taken from them. He doesn't give them twice as much. He doesn't give them three times as much. He gives them four times as much as he had taken from them. And I want you to just stop and think about what that's going to do to the people that he has defrauded. They're going to be angry. They're going to have been hurt. They're going to have been nurturing this resentment for years. And now they don't just get back what they lost. They get four times as much. I believe there were a lot of happy people that day. Zacchaeus was not the only one who was transformed when he answered his calling, but all these other lives were touched and transformed because one person answered the call that God had given to them. That's central for us as people of faith in our tradition. In the Presbyterian tradition, we have some historic principles that we go by. Let me name just a few. Number one, God alone is Lord of the conscience. We believe that when there is a statement made by the church, we do not bind the conscience of any individual. People are free to disagree with what they hear in the Presbyterian Church. What we do is we advocate, we try to inspire, we try to teach, and we hope we transform, but God alone is Lord of the conscience. So you always are acknowledged as having freedom that God may be speaking to you in a way that he's not speaking to other folks. as we see it in our tradition, God appoints officers, and there are certain people who are called to lead. These leaders are recognized as having a role in the community. They're not better than anyone else. They just have a particular role to play. We all have roles to play, but some people are called to be leaders. And so our session and our deacons in particular are called to lead, and our pastors. Another historic principle of the Presbyterian Church, truth is in order to goodness. That's the formal statement. I like it so well. Truth is in order to goodness. It means you can't be or do good unless you really are willing to examine what's going on in faith and to examine what's going on in the world and to discern the truth of what God is saying here and now. Opinions have consequences, and our faith has consequences. It's up to us to listen and to discern that truth. We also go on to say there are truths with respect to which people of good character and principles may disagree. That one is so central to the Presbyterian Church. There are truths with respect to which people of good character and principles may disagree. We are broadly inclusive in this congregation because we follow in the direction that we've been given. We don't all agree on everything, but we do try to talk with one another, stay in relationship with one another, learn from one another, and figure out how we can live in the world together. So the church becomes something of a microcosm that ought to be able to inspire other folks in the world who also may disagree in their own ways. those are a few of the principles of our tradition. There's lots of things that we can say out of our history, but I'd like to talk about today. What needs to happen today in the church? We have a church body that is invested with these values. We carry these values forward. We're set on a trajectory, so we may transform some of those values as we go along, as the Spirit moves among us. But what needs to happen so we are able to keep on thriving in this marvelous tradition with which we have been blessed? First of all, core to our history and to our present day is that worship matters. Nobody's ever going to force you to come to worship. Worship is something that we come to because we're grateful to God. I make it my practice to be in worship every week. Well, you'd probably miss me if I was gone, okay? But whether I'm on vacation or here or whenever, I'm in worship every week because you never know when God has a word for you. And if you're not there, you may not hear that word. That's why I'm in worship, is I come and know that somewhere in the act of our corporate worship, I may be inspired touched and blessed. I might be healed. I might be given hope. That's what happens in worship. I'm connected with God, and when I'm connected with God, then I'm reoriented in the world. That's what happened to Zacchaeus. He got an inspiration from the living God in Jesus Christ, and it reoriented his whole life. I think that's what happens to us in worship, is we get reoriented. We remember who we are, and we hear what God is saying to us. Secondly, I think besides seeing that we need to be in worship every week, the second thing is the Bible has always made a difference in the Protestant tradition. That's our source from which through which the Holy Spirit works, and that's the key place where we go. So studying the Bible and learning in Bible study is crucial. I think, again, nobody's going to force you to be in Bible study every year, but there ought to be some time every year that I think every member says, I'm going to take this month, this series that's being offered, or maybe this year, and I'm going to dive in and learn at a deeper level. I think that's part of how you keep fresh in your faith, is you allow God to speak to you in those ways. And my experience has been, I've seen more lives transformed in Bible study than just about anything else. So I encourage and lift up that as something that I think everyone ought to set before themselves to do at least once a year. Thirdly, I think being part of a church is absolutely about service, that during the course of the year we ought to very clearly say to ourselves, who am I going to serve this year? Am I going to serve in the choir? Thank you very much. Or one of the musicians? Or am I going to serve on the worship committee? Am I going to serve in the Sunday school? Am I going to serve in the outreach committee? Am I going to serve in? There are just this whole long list of ways that we take care of one another and take care of our congregation. To be called as part of a church is to do one's part, to serve in that way. And then not just inside the church, but figuring out how we serve in the broader community. There are people that are hurting out there. How do we help take care of those people? And how do we take care of God's good creation? We are called to be stewards of the earth. Those are things about which every one of us should be concerned. Fourthly, pledge. You've heard about that the last few weeks. Next week, we bring our pledge cards here. It is amazing how your perspective changes when you push yourself and are dedicated to giving to the activities of the church through which God works. That is a powerful spiritual discipline. We do it as a spiritual discipline. And for some people, you know, it's really going to have them stretch themselves to give, you know, $2 a week or $10 a week. And for others, you know, it may be $10,000 a year or it may be $20,000 a year. This is an inspiring congregation in how much people give. But that is because it's a spiritual discipline, and that's why we do that. We're responding gratefully to what God does, and we want to participate in the call that God gives to us and the way that God empowers us. I think claiming the community that Christ founded is part of it. That's part of our life together, making sure that we're reaching out and loving one another. I am so inspired every time I run across that scripture passage where it talks about how the people outside of the church talked about the Christians, and the way that they described them was simply that: see how they love one another. I think it takes time to do that. You have to reach out, take the risk of making new friends, connecting with people. There are all sorts of loving people here, all sorts of loving people in this congregation. I have been so blessed to be part of this community. I stand in awe and amazement of
the love that I've experienced here. And I know that that's something that has been at the heart and soul of this congregation. That's what we want to take forward and make sure that we're finding more and more people that we reach out to and share with them the love that we have received in Christ. And finally, since we've been loved so well, we want to invite others as something that we just naturally do because we have been blessed and amazed by the mission, the outreach, the faithfulness, and the grace and the goodness of what we have experienced in this church. I would hope that every member of this church would reach out and invite at least one other person every year to come and see and experience what they have experienced here. That's part of our sharing the blessing and sharing the good news that we have received. We have been called by God. That image of Zacchaeus is one that I think is profound because he was not a perfect person, not by far, but his life was changed. His life was changed and transformed, and then he, in answering his call, turned around and changed so many other lives. We all have been called by God, called in a marvelous, graceful tradition that recognizes that we do things in one Christian way, and there's other Christians who do things in other ways, and we want to honor their traditions and call them brothers and sisters in faith because they are, because that's what we have experienced in God's grace and God's love. May we carry forward this marvelous tradition of faith, this marvelous tradition of hope and love that we have received in the blessings of Jesus Christ. Amen.